Today I would like to speak about one set of virtues which are very well known among the Buddhists in Thailand. This is a set of four virtues called in Pali Ittipada or in Thai Ittibad. It is known as the virtues that leads to success, or literally it means the basis for success. But usually Thai Buddhists think of this set of virtues in connection with worldly success, such as success in study, in schools, in universities, or success in working, or in business, or something like that. But in the Pali Tipitaka, this set of virtues of Ittipada is usually taught by the Buddha in connection with samadhi. This means these four virtues can induce samadhi, and it can be said to be the natural way to develop samadhi. First, if we like something we are going to do, we have a love for it, we are fond of it, then it will become more easy for us to concentrate on that work or that piece of work we are going to do. This liking or love is called chanta. My translation might not be a very exact one, but chanta can be translated like that. It is the first base for success. People interpret it as the love for work, and then if they have a liking for that work, and then they will work very successfully. But in developing samadhi, if we like something we are going to do, the concentration will naturally develop on that object, on the object we are going to use as our object of the kammatthana. And samadhi that is induced by this chanta or liking or love is called chanta samadhi. This is the first way of developing samadhi. Then the second one, if we feel brave or courage, we have a courage to do something, we think of something as challenging us, challenging our ability, then we feel a kind of courage to do it. We will try to conquer it. Conquer in this meaning does not mean to conquer people, but to conquer the work, to have victory on our work. With this courage, we can develop samadhi more easily, or this kind of courage naturally develops samadhi. This is called virya. Virya is usually rendered as energy, but the literal meaning is the state of being brave or courage. Virya or virya is derived from vira and niya. Vira means brave or courage, and niya means the state of being. Then virya means the state of being courageous. We feel of what we are going to do as challenging our ability. We should like to do it out. We do not feel discouraged. And this feeling of courage is the second way of developing samadhi. And if samadhi is induced by this virtue or state of mind, it is called in Pali virya samadhi, the second one. Then comes the third state of mind. If we think of something as very important or very significant to our life, to our progress, or we have a sense of responsibility for it, or we feel that it is very important as far as our safety or security is concerned, then it will become naturally easier to concentrate on that object. And you can see an example in a man who does the work of mind sweeping. The person who is doing the work of mind sweeping will be very concerned about his safety and security. At that moment, you can see that he concentrates on the work he's doing. It is natural. And this is the third way of developing samadhi. And it is the third virtue in the Ittipatha, or the four success basis for success. This, if samadhi is induced by this state of mind, it is called citta samadhi. Citta is usually translated as thoughtfulness. But what is thoughtfulness? You can think of it in this way. And now we come to the last one of the Ittipatha. If we are curious of something, if we want to test it, if we want to experiment with it, to see what will be, what will occur, or if we do it this way, what will it be, or something like that. With this curiosity, with the sense of being inclined to investigate. We want to investigate, test, experiment. And then with this state of mind, concentration will be more easily to be developed, or it naturally leads to samadhi. And this state of mind of the desire to investigate, curiosity, the desire to test or experiment is called vimamsa. And the samadhi that is induced by this state of mind is called vimamsa samadhi. Therefore, we have the four ways of inducing samadhi. They are natural way. It is not difficult to see why they are basis for success, because samadhi is a key virtue for the success of our work. If we have no concentration on our study, for example, we read book without concentration, without samadhi, we will not understand the contents of the book. And the Buddha has taught these four ways of inducing samadhi. From samadhi, success can be achieved. This means before going on to success, we have to achieve samadhi. And then we usually try to fix our mind on some object. And that is the way of developing samadhi. First, we use sati. Sati is mindfulness. We try to be mindful of some object, which is called the object of our kammatthana, or of citta bhavana, or of samadhi, or the object of meditation. We try to be always aware of that object, keep that object in the mind, fix our mind on that object, or to be mindful of it. And then when our mind become fixed on it, really fixed on it, then it becomes samadhi occurs. Is rich. Mindfulness is usually the beginner or starter for the samadhi. And we can see that the methods of the development of samadhi are mostly called sati, or most of the methods have their names ended with sati. For example, anapanasati. It is the method of developing samadhi, but the name is sati. That is because sati is the beginner. We begin with sati. Therefore, the attikatha or commentary compare the sati with the rope. Rope, R-O-P-E, that binds a cow to a pillar. We have a cow or a wild animal. Suppose we have a wild animal, from the forest. It will not yield to our purpose. It will not stay as we want. Therefore, we bind it with a rope. And we bind it to a pillar. The cow or divine animal is compared to our mind that is going here and there all the time. And then the pillar is the object of meditation. The rope is sati. Sati binds, is the binder. It binds the animal to the pillar. The animal cannot go as it likes. But with only sati, we have to make some effort, something like that, all the time. We have to use sati as rope. The rope seems to struggle with the cow or the wild animal because the cow wants to go on the tie, and the rope why is on the tie. And then there is a progress. When the cow become calmer, and at last the cow or the wild animal sit close to the pillar or near the pillar. This means it is attached to the pillar. It does not go anywhere. And now we pass from sati to samadhi. The state of the wild animal or the cow that sits at the pillar and does not go, that is samadhi. This is the difference between sati and samadhi. And this is to show that the sati is very important in the development of samadhi. But if our mind is strengthened by the four virtues I have mentioned, the development of samadhi will become easier. The struggle before between the mind and the rope, between the cow or the wild animal and the rope, will be lessened. Therefore, we have these four virtues as very helpful state of mind in the development of samadhi. And it is these four virtues that are mentioned in the sutta. Therefore, today I refer to this teaching of the Buddha, because it is one of the very important set of virtues that are regarded as the Bodhipakkhiya Dhamma. Among the Bodhipakkhiya Dhamma, or the 37 virtues partaking of the enlightenment, these four virtues are part of them, or four of the 37, and they are very important, very helpful in the development of samadhi. I make a reference to this teaching of the Buddha, and this is all for this topic today. If you have anything, we can discuss. But before closing my talk, I would like to turn to what I said yesterday. I would like to make a stress on the dhamma, the virtue that I spoke about yesterday. I thought that yesterday I did not speak clearly enough. It is the importance of the appamattha, or the life of non-negligence. This life of non-negligence can be regarded as a test for humanity. It is a test whether human beings, individually as persons or collectively as society, whether they can develop themselves up to the level at which they will be able not to be subject to the vicious circle, the vicious cycle of rise and fall. Or they may do not wait until they are oppressed or threatened, and then struggle and strive. And not to be indulgent when they succeed or have attained to prosperity and become prosperous. If man or all human beings can develop themselves to this level, they can keep their life and society in good condition with sati and panya. Sati, mindfulness, and panya, wisdom, and do not have to wait the oppression and threatening of suffering and dangers on the one hand, and do not have to go to into under the influence of the indulgence and laziness on the other when they become successful. And to be not negligent to do anything they should do on the time. This is also a lesson for training, or a lesson for everyone in the training of oneself. If we can live this life of non-negligence, only growth in the Dhamma Vinaya can be expected, no decline. But we have to accept that it is very difficult, especially when we deal with the whole society. Therefore, they again and again come under this vicious cycle of rise and fall because of the fake or false appamattha, fake or false non-negligence, fake or false earnestness when they are oppressed and threatened, and they become indulgent when they become successful and happy. This is the way of the worldly people, which Buddhism teaches to develop, to correct, to rectify. And as I mentioned yesterday, this can be taken as a criterion for or standard to measure the development of man or human beings. And another observation I would like to make here is that the virtues of non-negligence or the life of non-negligence or appamattha is often taught by the Buddha in connection with a very important teaching that is anicchang. Anicchang or anicchata, to be more exact. Anicchang is a popular term in Thai language, but the exact term is anicchata. Anicchata is impermanence. Impermanence is one of the three characteristics of existence. And anicchang is very popular in Thai language. It has even become a word of exclamation when there is a separation, for example, from a beloved one. Some people would say, "Oh, anicchang, anicchang, this is impermanent, this is transient." That person has deceased, passed away, or something like that. This is a separation, and anicchang is exclaimed. Anicchang, or the first of the three characteristics of being, is very important teaching of the Buddha. And in connection with this teaching, the non-negligence or the virtue of non-negligence is usually or often mentioned by the Buddha. The prominent example is the last word of the Buddha himself when he said on his deathbed, "Vayathamma sankhara appamattena sampadetha." On condition things are subject to decay, therefore work out your goal with appamattha, with non-negligence, or with earnestness, or with zeal, or with diligence, as you like. But it is appamattha. Here you can see that the Buddha speaks of appamattha in connection with anicchata or impermanence. The point I would like to stress here is that for many people, when we speak of anicchata or impermanence, they think, they connect, they relate this to the state of mind. This means they connect this with the way to practice something for the good of the mind. This means they would say that, oh, things are impermanent, transient. They have to pass away. Those who were born must die. Now there is a separation. It is according to the law of nature. Therefore, we should not be sorrowful. And then this is to kill a person of sorrow, of dukkha. And then in this way, we have in Thai what we call plong. Plong. Some of you might have heard this term, Plong. Plong or Tham Chai. Plong or Tham Chai means when we see something anicchang, impermanent, separation or something like that. We say that, oh, it is the law of nature. Things go are impermanent. They go away according to their cause and effect. This is the law. Therefore, we should not lament. We should not be sorrowful. We should know the real nature of things. We should know things as they really are. And then we keep our mind untouched by suffering, by the separation. And they even think that everything is impermanent, therefore it must come and go away. The rise and fall of things are normal things, natural. They must be. Therefore, don't be sorrowful. Don't lament. This is to practice some virtue for the good of the mind. But for many of these people, they can relieve the pain, relieve themselves of the pain. They have a relief in the mind, mental relief. No sorrow, or they can deliver themselves of sorrow. But at this point they stop. They become relief from suffering with no sorrow. And they do not go out to solve the problem outside. What happens here is the falling of those people into pamatha or negligence. This is the way many people we have. It is a partial practice of the Dhamma, partial one. When it is partial, it means it is not complete, it is not perfect. And when it is partial, it can bring forth even something bad. Or the undesirable thing, or ทำให้เกิดโทษ ว่าไงดีครับ
ill effects
it may bring ill effect, bad effect on our life and society. This is partial practice of the Dhamma, because they do not connect the teaching of anicchang with the teaching of appamattha. The Buddha stressed again and again the importance of appamattha. In order to practice the Dhamma as a whole, completely, we should know the meaning of anicchang and the practical or practical use or application of it. Anicchang is the state of things or nature of things. It is in itself not a virtue. No, not virtue. It is state of things, natural and characteristic. It is nature. It is the size of nature. It is something to be known. This thing for wisdom. It is not virtue, anicchang. It is not bad or good. Just an aspect of the law of nature, anicjang or anicjata, impermanence. We deal with it with wisdom. When we know it with wisdom, that is to know things as they really are, as one of the three characteristics of being. And now, how should we go on from the point of wisdom? Now we have the relationship with nature through wisdom. The truth of seeing the Dhamma as the truth of nature, is for us to relate with wisdom. Now we have wisdom to connect ourselves or relate ourselves to it. But from this, we have to go on. And there are two ways to go on from the point of wisdom of knowing anicjata or impermanence. Two points are: one, action or external behavior, and the other is the mind or mental state. But the starting point is wisdom. Now, wisdom can connect us with behavior or action. This is the wisdom that leads to appamatha, the life of negligence. Okay, all things are impermanent. But not only impermanent, that it is not, things do not go yang lươn lòi, vâng, yang lươn lòi,
randomly,
randomly or something like that. But they go on according to causes and effects, the law of causes and effects or causes and conditions. As things go on according to their causes and conditions, we have to deal with these things with wisdom of panya. We have to learn about the causes and conditions and deal with those causes and conditions. This means we should not stop and say to ourselves, "Oh, I cannot do anything because it is the law of nature. It is natural." No, we can deal with them according to causes and effects. And now, in the behavior or regarding the action, we come from wisdom to appamatha. That is to deal with those things by doing or practicing according to the causes and causes and conditions. This means at first we have to learn to investigate what are the causes and conditions for the rise and fall of things, and then we like to have the progress or to have the growth. We do not like the fall, the decline. And then when we know the causes and conditions for the decline, we prevent them. When we know the causes and conditions for the growth of progress, we practice them. And then this is the way of the appamatha, non-negligence. We go out to solve the problem. This is how to proceed from wisdom to action. This is concerned with behavior. And now, another way is to deal with the mind, the state of mind. Also, from wisdom, we proceed to the state of mind. To deal with the state of mind means that by this wisdom or through this wisdom, we keep the suffering or dukkha. We keep suffering or dukkha as a problem outside of ourselves. Not to allow it to overcome our mind. The problem should be outside. The problem will not become suffering that overcomes our mind. This is to know the true nature of things. When we know the true nature of things, when we say, oh, things will go according to their causes and effects. They do not go according to our design. With this knowledge of the true nature of things, this Ru Thao Than, our mind is relieved from pain, from suffering, and we keep the problem outside ourselves, not to overcome our mind. Therefore, with the same wisdom, we do two things. For the mind, we do not let the suffering outside or the problem outside become suffering in the mind. We keep our mind clear with our sorrow. This is one aspect, but it is in passion, but we do not have to, we must not stop here. We must go out to deal with the problem outside. We have to learn their causes and conditions and deal with them at the causes and conditions. And this is appamattha outside, the behavior. And then now we are not partial. We do not deal with the dhamma partially. We have a whole picture. And with this complete practice, we will not have bad or ill effect. But we will realize the good effect. We will realize the good effect on both sides, both inside our mind and outside the concrete problem in the world or things around us. This is an example of how to practice the Dhamma wholly, not partially. It is concerned with the practice of the Appamattha or the life of non-negligence. And I think I should come to a close of my talk, and then we can have some discussion. ท่านช่วยแปลหน่อยฟังไม่ถนัดอ้าวเลยท่านกำลังคุยอยู่นี่นะ The moment please ผมฟังไม่ค่อยทันพูดยังง่ายก็ฟังเลยทำไมฟังยากจัง
ถึงเหตุปัจจัยของการบังเกิดขึ้นของอัปปมาทะมีพระพุทธองค์เคยตรัสเป็นชุดบ้างไหมครับว่าต้องมีทำอะไรบ้างจึงจะได้จะไ ให้เกิดอัปปมา
ทะให้เกิดอัปปมาทะอัปปมาทะ is defined as to live without lack of sati negation of the negative and this means to live with mindfulness on the time. Then the term appamattha is related to the term sati, mindfulness. And then how to have sati, how to develop sati, right? Sati is connected with what we call yoniso manasikara. Yoniso manasikara means to have wise reflection or something like that. It is very difficult to translate yoniso manasikara. When you have yoniso manasikara, it demands or it requires sati. Therefore, naturally you develop sati when you use the yoniso manasikara. And another way, sati, what is sati? It is again difficult because I have to use the English term. Sati is to keep something in the presence of the mind. Yeah. To catch it, not let it go. Not let loose. We keep it in the presence of the mind. For example, something come. In everyday life, we see, hear, smell, and so on. Especially seeing and see and hearing. We see something, and then it goes. It passes by. It passes and go on. And now something is meaningful or important to us. If we cannot keep it in the presence of the mind, we cannot deal with it. Especially we cannot know it. We cannot use panya, wisdom. We cannot know it. Therefore, we have to keep it in presence of the mind. To keep it in the presence of the mind is called sati. Or something pass by. In the past, we saw something in the past. Now it passed into our memory. We draw it into the presence of the mind. To draw that object into the presence of the mind is also called sati. Therefore, sometimes we translate sati as recollection. We should have some term that can be applied to both. It may be things going on in the present time, but we keep it in our present, in the presence of our mind. Or it might have passed into memory and we draw it into the presence of the mind. This is the action of sati. มีศัพท์อะไรมั้ยที่จะใช้ได้ทั้งคู
่ไม่มีคร
ับไม่มีนะIn Thai we say ดึงไว้ก็ดึงมาใช้ได้ทั้ง present and past ดึง somethingwould go away, we ดึงไว้ or something have passed into the memory, we ดึงออกมา we ดึงนะฮะดึง is the action of sati. To keep the object in the presence of the mind or to draw it into the presence of the mind, this is called sati. The action of panyaNeeds the sati. Because without sati, without things in the presence of the mind, panya cannot work. You cannot know anything. Therefore, usually the sati is mentioned in couple with panya. Sati and panya, sati and panya. And sometimes even though panya is not mentioned, but it is left as understood. Sati, panya, sati. But there is sometimes, as I mentioned yesterday, sati may not need panya. In the situation when we would go only to samadhi, sati keep us in the presence of that object and keep that object in the presence of our mind, and then we become concentrated on it, and that is samadhi. And then the mindfulness leads to samadhi. And then our goal, our objective is only to get samadhi. It is on, therefore we do not need panya. But usually in the everyday life or in our further practice, especially in vipassana, we need the panya to follow sati. But you can see here that sati is the beginner both for samadhi and for panya. For the panya or wisdom or knowledge to work, we need sati. And then in order to samadhi or concentration to develop, we need sati again. Sati is the beginner for both. And therefore, both in the practice of samatha and in the practice of vipassana, you need sati.